Hey everybody, welcome back to Rethink Podcast. Cole.
Yeah.
Loving the shirt.
Thank you. I got it at a gas station in Sterling, Colorado.
Really?
Yeah. It's like $12. Fashion.
It's worth all
$12.
Yeah. Yeah. So before the cameras start rolling, we just like talk. And we were
It's a good thing we don't record it.
We need to do a whole series on men's health issues.
Yeah.
This was originally going to be a podcast mainly for men, right?
Yep.
And we've still been that way, except we don't use certain words.
Right. Yeah, which
season
is
two.
Wise.
Yep. Well, we're just trying to pay attention,
you know? Yep.
But we all think of the word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, everybody knows it.
But so you asked me, like, am I all right?
Yeah, you walked in and you were very somber.
I was somber because, so in 6 weeks, I have to, part of coming back from sabbatical was, hey, we're going to make care mentally, spiritually, and physically. And so Flanders is shipping me off to Mayo Clinic for an executive health physical health, all right? And
if only arm size could just be the pinnacle of health. Like my arms are big, I'm healthy.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah, today was chest and back day.
I did chest
too. It was my first time doing chest and back.
With your shoulder.
Yeah.
How was it?
Well, no tomorrow.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, because I'm doing pull-ups.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do as many pull-ups as I used to do.
No.
But this, so Mayo sent me this whole list of the things they're going to do over 2 days.
Yeah.
Right? And I knew there's some things were possible, but I really think that there's a possibility they're going to stick something in every
orifice
hole in my body. Yeah. And I've always had this terror of one certain, right?
Yeah.
I've had a colonoscopy.
Yep.
Okay. You know, it's just like, I remember going and saying, hey, can I watch on the TV? And they went, sure. I went, great. And it was, and then they said, but it's over.
Yep.
And I'm like, whatever. Then they don't let you go home until you fart. But anyway, so I'm not even worried about that.
No.
But that's why Robin's not going with me, because I have to drink that jug of stuff in a hotel room.
Yeah.
It'd be the hotel room from hell.
Disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing that's got
the
me panicked is you and I are both not big fans of cardio.
We're not.
Right?
Yeah.
We want muscles to show, not muscles to go. So much, right?
Yeah,
so
we want muscles to grow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gains.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hashtag gains.
With a Z.
with a Z, of course.
Yeah.
But they're going to do a treadmill test on me.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm following your lead. I'm doing cardio.
Good job.
I've done 3 days. I ran a mile each day.
Yeah.
I got a cramp the first day in my calf.
Yeah.
Because my body's going, this isn't what we do, man.
No. Right? Why are you switching up on us?
Uh-huh. That's right. And so I'm a little nervous about it. Then they're going to do a whole chest x-ray. And on an earlier podcast, I said, you know, I quit my pipe and cigars and stuff like that. I had started again.
Yeah.
I went 20 days.
That was good. That's almost 3 weeks. That's good.
In some countries, it is 3 weeks. I don't know what that means.
I was like, that's
in dog
not,
years, that's
not factual. That's a
years,
long time.
Right?
Yeah.
But anyway, but I fudged a little bit. And so then when I saw they're going to do a whole chest wreck and I'm going to do a cardio test.
Yeah.
I threw those things out the window and I'm eating healthy.
Good job.
And
you don't have a Chick-fil-A cup today.
I didn't go to Chick-fil-A.
Good job.
Right? I might go to Chick-fil-A on Saturday morning if I make all my workouts this week.
That's fair. That's a good prize.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
But
that's a good prize.
But and then you were telling me all about your experiences of
With kidney stones. Yeah.
I've never had one.
Yeah, you don't want them.
Yeah.
Yeah, this should be water, but it's not. I haven't had a kidney stone in a while, knock on wood. But I told you one story. I got lots of stories. I started a Bible study at Aurora. And 3 minutes into it, I was like, you guys got to lead this. I got to go. And I laid in the floor in the rec
center. Like somebody hitting you with a baseball bat in the side, right?
It's miserable. I mean, it starts as a super broad pain. And then as it moves through your uter, it slowly it slowly gets more and more just like finite. And I literally carry smooth muscle relaxers with me. Like I'm prepared at all times. Minus I should just drink water and then I don't have to be that prepared. That's just hard. Caffeine's more important.
Water actually causes rust.
And use water to make coffee. So I'm drinking water all the time.
Water is the primary ingredient in bourbon.
Yep.
Water.
Yep. And Diet Coke, probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I've given up Diet Coke, you know, or bourbon, but I've given up bad food and anything going in my lungs. And now I'm running on a treadmill very slowly.
Yeah.
Like
you're healthy. Yeah. You deserve a Diet Coke.
I'm angry.
I would be too. That sounds awful.
Right.
That's what it was coming in.
But my heart is good.
Which is where we're going. That's perfect segue. That was a softball in the middle. So we said last week, hey, we wanted to address a question. If you guys send in questions, we want to address them. We're going to talk more about that on Monday, going into season three. But we...
Didn't Ben, the guy who really liked our arms, have a question?
He liked your arms. He didn't say anything about mine. But he did have a question. And so I want to start with like the very like beginning of his question and see if we, by the end of this or another episode, can get through the full question. But he asked a question about like, what does it look like to... work on a hard heart or to soften a hard heart. And there's like a long process that goes with that. But I think the first step of that is actually acknowledging that you have one and realizing that your heart is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So in your experience, in your life, there's been times where you've had a hard heart. You've worked on whatever that looks like. So for you, what has it been to stop and acknowledge the fact that, hey, maybe something's not right here, and you have to start acknowledging what that looks like?
Okay. Well, I think the first thing, and I try to, like, whenever I talk about people, like, hey, you've been living your life this way, maybe you need to live your life a different way, a better way, rethink some things, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I think the first way, you have to go upstream and go, how did I get here? Because there's a lot of people that had, a lot of us, we had to put armor around our heart or we'd be dead, okay? We had to go into a season where we were protecting ourselves because we kept getting attacked or we kept getting hurt or we kept getting abused or whatever that is. And finally, we had to put up some armor and go, you can't do that anymore, okay?
Enough.
It's a survival thing, okay? And you look back and go, yeah, you probably wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be alive. And I think that God gives us those self-protective mechanisms.
Yeah.
We call a hard heart. I mean, obviously, there's not, our hearts didn't change.
Right.
But we're talking about that wall that we build around us that protects us, all right? I think God gives us those defensive mechanisms. But they're meant to be for a season, right? They're not meant to be the rest of our lives, okay? Yeah. There would have been no rest of our lives had we not said, okay, boundary, all right? And that boundary turned into a shell. That shell turned into a wall, and now it's iron, all right? And even, I think Jeremiah is like, says, okay, something needs to happen in my heart. I need to get rid of my heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. And that's scary because hearts of flesh can get hurt again.
Yeah.
All right. So I think the first thing is you have to go, how did I get here? Don't get defensive about it. Going, all right, this happened to me, or this happened to me over and over and over again, and I had to put a stop to it, which is a good thing. All right. Yeah. But now that wall is, it's interfering with a lot of other things. So you can say, okay, no one's going to hurt me again because I have this hard heart, right? But it also means that nobody else can get in and you can't get out. It actually ends up being one of those things that imprisons you. That's why Jesus talked about anger so much.
Yeah.
It's like anger is like, there's things to be angry about, but when anger turns into bitterness, right, then you get trapped in anger. Forgiveness is saying, okay, I don't need anything to happen out there for me to be okay and free.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think first of all is to acknowledge, why am I so angry all the time? Or why do I have this hard heart? Or why am I so closed off to that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we're talking about, the hard heart, right?
Absolutely. So with that thought, why would you even want, so you acknowledge it. And for a lot of people, like, change is terrifying. Change is something that we don't want to do. We look at everything going on in the world for all of existence and people are always resistant to whatever's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you want to acknowledge that there's a hard heart and then go, okay, now I need to take steps further. Like, what is the why behind that?
Yeah. So I don't quote Bill Hybels all the time or very often, right?
Yeah.
What he has a great quote. It says, people aren't opposed to change, just sudden change. Huh. If someone just says you have to be different today, that's not going to work, all right? I think, and usually it's not until a big conflict reveals this, is that when you realize that my hard heart is actually interfering with things unrelated to that, it's just coming out sideways. So I have a hard heart when it comes to this, but because that, it's shut down a lot of else, and now Taylor can't get in your life. Mm-hmm. Or I've shut off my kids, or I've shut off relationships because I got burned by this hard heart, and now I can't get out and people can get in. And usually it's when you're about to lose someone and they go, you shut me out, or what, you know, I understand why you're angry, but why are you taking it out on me? And you realize that it's coming out sideways on the wrong people, the most important people, that had nothing to do with why your heart had to harden up in the first place. So I think you have to acknowledge that and go, the first thing is why I'd want to not have a hard heart anymore is that you kind of go, I have choices. I can live behind this hard heart and I'm safe, right? But that means I can't be with him or her or them. And then you have to decide, it's a risk. It's a risk to say, okay, I'm going to open myself up to be with another person, to be with God.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, hey God, I'm so angry about this, I can't even worship you. And so now I feel distant from God.
Yeah.
And the wall gets thicker.
Yeah. I think that's where I was actually at a couple weeks, or not, for the past year and a half. When my dad died, I was just numb. Like, I had to take care of a bunch of stuff going on. I had to take care of a bunch of people. And then finally I was like, okay, enough of this. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just going through the motions. I'm just, like, moping through life. So I started going to counseling, I don't know, a year and 2 months ago maybe. And through that work, where we put my dad's ashes, I hadn't been until last week. And it'd been a year and a half.
Really?
Yeah. And I did a wedding up in Breck, and that's where his ashes are. And so I drove there. I was by myself.
Did you stop at Blackhawk?
I didn't. I wanted to. Well, you so said bad. You might I should have. Yeah, yeah, I thought about it. Yeah. But I literally probably threw 8 or 9 different direction changes in my brain of like, should I go? Should I not go? Should I not? Uh-huh. Finally, I turned off and went. And it was super peaceful. It was incredible. But in the midst of it was this eye-opening thing of like, I've shut Jesus off for a while. Like, my numbness was a side effect of that. Mm. But my numbness was shutting people out. And through that, it wasn't until I sat down and realized like, oh, I had shut Jesus down. Because it's like, I'll deal with that later. Like, I can't get a heart of flesh at that point, right? Like, I couldn't get there.
All right. So did that come about through counseling? Did that come about through time or space? What was the prompter for you to go, this is interfering with?
So the acknowledging that I was numb was probably 4 months after. And it was just like, life at home sucks. Life at work sucks. Life.
Is that sitting on the couch thinking, I'm just numb?
Yeah.
And I don't think Taylor like going, what's wrong?
No, I think she thought that I was just like coping with it and like trying to process things. And I was, but it was just like, I hit a point where it's like, there's no emotion at all right now. I'd shut it off. Cause it's like, I have so much I have to take care of that I'm shutting it off. And so going to counseling was out of like, I feel numb. But last week was out of like, I sat down and was like, the only way that I can sit here and like get through this and like be actually present here is if I acknowledge Jesus. And that was really hard. And it was like, hey, why is that hard? And it was this mental like wrestling match of like, oh, it's because I've tried to shut Jesus down, essentially, where it's like, I can tell everybody else, hey, Jesus is great. He's got your best interest in mind. But I sat there like, I really miss my dad. Why did this happen? Why did it have to happen this way? And instead of directing those questions just out like I have been for a year and a half, it was like, no, I'm going to direct them at Jesus. And then I realized, oh, there's anger there. I need to start thinking through that and working through that.
Anger at Jesus?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I didn't – probably at first I would have told you, like, yeah, I'm angry at Jesus, you know? And then months would have gone by where I'm like, no, I'm just angry. I'm sad. Like, it shouldn't happen that way. But that didn't change the fact that I was still angry at Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's like I could dress it up however I wanted to, but it, you know, was still there. So looking through that, that makes sense of, like, I have to figure out why I want to change my heart. And for me, it was numbness. I can't connect with – I thrive off of connection. And I can't connect with anybody if it's shut off.
Right.
And that's what the why was for me.
Right.
That makes sense. It's all just kind of clicking as I'm processing.
Yeah, so we got something out of this.
Yeah, we're great. Yeah.
I think that's really important. One is like let's say that, and I don't know what the story is behind the question that came in for this, all right? But like, hey, if you go through like a death or a divorce or some big breakup, all right? The natural thing is I have to protect myself, all right?
Yeah.
You have to draw in, okay? And that just makes sense, okay? I mean, you have to do that. And then you realize like I can stay in here and not get hurt again, but it's lonely. Or I have to risk this, all right? So I think there has to be a compelling reason, something better that this is in the way of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times the people who know us best will go, what's wrong? A lot. It's like you're somewhere else or you're not listening or it's like you're always thinking about something else. Yeah. That's the wall. That's the hard heart because you can't be present because there's a wall between you and I.
Yeah.
Right. And to open that up means I might love again and she might do to me what my ex-wife did to me or, you know, whatever that is. And you have to decide it's a risk. I mean, if you're going to, where that place where you scattered your dad's ashes and you were there, now you have to have a really, really hard conversation with Jesus because the cool thing about Jesus, he's a big boy.
Yeah, he can take it.
And he can take it, you know, and he can see through that.
Yeah.
You can see him going, okay, you know, I've called Jesus many things.
Yeah.
All right. Lord and Savior. All right.
Yeah.
But some other things that probably not. And I think he's just going, that's the anger. That's the anger. You know, people punched him in the face over and over and he just like took it and went, if that's what you need to do right now,
yeah,
my grace even covers that. And so, But that's the scary thing. Going, what happens if I have a bad conversation with Jesus and on the other end of it, I'm madder at him?
Yeah.
So maybe I just go back into numb.
Yeah.
And then just pretend that it's
a risk. Yeah. So thinking through that and just like applying it to yourself, thinking through whatever in the past 5 years that you've been most angry at. I think we all have lots of those, right? But for you, it's like there's a lot that's happened over the past 5 years, the past 2 years, the past 1 year for you. There's a lot that you've been angry at.
I think it was righteous anger.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, I don't think all anger is bad.
It's not, right? Yeah. Jesus says like, be angry, but don't sin, right?
Right, right.
So with that, what has been the biggest, like, I think I've seen you be angry at people and you're starting to mend those relationships. So for you listening, or for you like right now, and for the people listening, for you, what was the breaking point of like, okay, I need to change this and repair this because that's more important. What changed in your heart and in your mind to start like softening up where that anger was?
When I realized that individual anger just became the total main theme of my life, and I was just pissed off all the time.
Yeah.
And like, if you would have asked, "Are you angry at Fred?" I would have gone, "I guess I don't know. Probably. I wouldn't even think about Fred. I'm making that name up."
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just angry all the time.
I don't know anybody named Fred.
I know a couple.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Flintstone.
There you go. There's one.
See,
actually, I know one now that you say that.
But, just that overall. And so then I realized that I'm just an angry person all the time. I don't want to be an angry person all the time because it robbed me my relationship with Robin and my kids. Because when you're angry, you're just like, F it. I'm just going to do my own thing. So my own thing was like, okay, I don't want to be this kind of person. And so then I started like, so in crucible work, a lot of times what we'll do is like, you'll do something to me and then there'll be a disproportionate amount of energy that comes back at you. And what you did really isn't what I'm angry about. It's what you triggered reminding me of something in my life.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening around here. Like the spinning out of control or, you know, numbers or whatever that was made me feel like, uh-oh, this means you're a failure. And you know, that means you're weak. And you know what happens when you're weak?
Yep.
You get hurt. And so I'd fire up like, no, no, no. All right. So that's the first thing. And then here's the other thing about for hard heart and forgiveness and stuff like that is I'm going to pop some bubbles, all right? Yeah. It does not happen at once.
Yeah.
You know, the forgiveness thing is like, first of all, you make a decision to forgive, you know, and forgive another person, forgive yourself, whatever that is. But a trigger will happen when it'll all come back up and it'll ambush you and you'll go, ah, I thought I was further along than this. It's just part of the healing process. So one of my favorite sayings is I'm forgiven, but I'm not healed. And sometimes the wounds feel like non-forgiveness, and they're not, but they'll come out as non-forgiveness, right? Like I have to have a conversation with somebody today about stuff that went on over a year ago. It's just come up again, and I'm carrying energy, and I don't want to carry that energy. So I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to go, hey, this is part of the, we said we'd be honest with each other when we, you know, started this process. And I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think our biggest fear is that someone's going to look back and go, oh, let's not forget about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really important to me and I'm going to get blown off.
Yeah.
It'd be easier to not go over and stop in the place where your dad's ashes is.
Yeah.
It'd be easier not to go, I gotta have a conversation.
It'd be easier to stay angry and there's just one more wall that gets built up.
And
right?
Then the wall will not get smaller and fall down by itself.
Yep.
It will get thicker by itself.
Yeah.
And higher.
Yeah.
And stronger. And so nobody accidentally gets a softer heart or forgives. Nobody does it on accident.
Yeah. So when you get to that spot of like, okay, I'm going to forgive, and the trigger pops up and you go, okay, now I need to choose it again. I need to choose it again. I need to choose it again.
Mm-hmm.
For you, what do you hold on to in that minute? Because it's easy to say like, oh, I hold on to Jesus. But like, what about Jesus do you hold on to when forgiveness is your only option and you don't want to choose it?
Yeah. So before I moved into this mindset, I just wanted to go in there and punish and show them I was right. I wanted to go win.
Yeah.
Okay. And now I want to go in there. My goal is restore the relationship because it's a really important relationship to me. And so now it's like, okay, do I want to go in there and just beat it out of him?
Yeah.
You know, verbally or emotionally and make him see how wrong he was, which I believe he was wrong.
For sure.
All right.
And in turn, you also get to show how strong you are, which depletes that voice that's telling you you're weak.
Well, I positionally, I win.
Yep.
You know? But that's not my goal at the end of this. My goal is, one is is to point out, again, I think anytime as Christians that we confront one another, the goal is restoration. Even if I caught you in sin, my goal is not to punish you and get rid of you. My goal is restoration back to walking with Christ with you.
Yeah.
Right? And so my goal is that he'll respond really, really well. And if he doesn't, I'll respond really, really well because I'm not going to attach any ultimatums to it. You know, hey, yeah. Fred, yeah. again, making the name up, all right? Hey, Fred, here's what I see and here's what I would really like to see and see you do, but I'm not going to make a requirement. I would say I'd trust him more if you did that.
Sure.
You know, in this reparation of sure. our...
And not in an ultimatum type way of like, oh, I'll trust no, you if you do this.
He but. May choose not to. The other risk is he does it because he wants to please me. And I want him to do it because it's right.
Sure.
You know, and I want him to be a better leader.
Yep.
All right? And the thing is, I'm not going to go ambush this person. This person has said to me, I want you to see... If you see weak spots in my life, I want you to call them out.
Yeah.
And I said the same thing back, you know, and the first thing I'm going to do is get defensive because of the hard heart.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do.
That's great. So for the person listening right now, and actually I think this question might take us to another podcast, but for the person listening right now, I think right now we live in a world where everybody points fingers. Everybody just, it's a yelling match right now. In every sphere of talk, it's a yelling match. Whoever's the loudest and has the final word is right, and you need to listen to them and do whatever. There's a lot of people listening, whether it's the race card or the sex card or the whatever it is in the world right now that's making people angry, or on the other side, making somebody angry about the opposite thing, that's listening that goes, oh, my heart's not hard. I'm just right. You know?
Yeah.
For whoever that is listening, how do you make the shift from like, again, we kind of talked about this in the last time, of like humbling yourself to go, okay, maybe I'm not right. I need to look at this. Instead of, I'm going to watch that next video that strengthens my viewpoint and the next one and the next one and the next one because mm-hmm. I'm just right. I'm not going to listen to what goes on there. How does somebody listening right now go, okay, here's my first step to maybe not being right and being willing to look at that? What does that take?
Well, one of my favorite quotes from Dallas Willard is he said, there's a possibility that some of my beliefs are wrong,
yep.
right? And then he said, I know that because I know some of your beliefs are wrong.
Yeah.
Right? But the reality is that there's some things that we're holding on to as true that aren't true. Not because we know they're not true or we wouldn't hold on to them.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, I always talk about like, I'm holding on to this belief system. When you say God, I think this. When you say friendship,
yep.
this, marriage, sex.
Yep.
This is what life has handed me. As I get to know Jesus better, I'm trying to rethink that, maybe take a hold of a better definition of that. So I think you have to continue to make sure that you're going, okay, am I holding on to truth? All right. I think the biggest need right now in culture is help me understand how you got to your position. Right. Because everybody has a story that nobody just like, I think I'm going to believe this today, you know, about people like that or about God or about religion or about women or about whatever, right? Nobody just landed there one day going, this is my belief system, right? It evolved over time, okay? So I know how mine evolved. You have a very different viewpoint. Help me understand how you got there, all right? I'm not trying to say I want to, because I want to believe that too. I'm not even trying to get you to believe what I believe. I just want to understand how they ended up with that mindset that's different than mine, okay? Because they didn't just get together and have a meeting and going, okay, here's what we're going to believe about those people. Or, you know, it's like it took a long time to get there. It's going to take a long time to figure out how to get to a better place. I don't think Jesus ever told us all we would be have unity. But that doesn't mean that we're going to
live in this utopian
place what's
where
right?
we all believe
so
the same thing.
So we're supposed to be unity, but we're not supposed to be identical.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's the beauty of like viewpoints coming together. That's why I think, you know, the United States was a melting pot of ideas and stuff like that. I think the church should be a melting pot of humanity, that the one thing we have that's non-negotiable is Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and everything else is like, I can still call you brother or sister, right? Like Republican, Democrat, black, white, whatever that is, okay? I'm not even telling you to change that. Help me understand how you got that one viewpoint because it seems inconsistent with whatever, but help me understand it, not you're stupid for believing that,
yeah.
right? And so I think the church should be the one point. And I think that's one of the things I was so sad about after Ben's talk, is that people that I consider really long time, like part of the Flatirons community, yeah, they got so pissed off so fast. It's like, hey, I stopped listening and I'll throw everything out because of one thing. And I was like, there are no, hey, help me understand. Yeah. When Ben said this, or when Jim said this, or when Lindsay said this, or when Cole said this, or whatever that is, help me understand how that goes with this, as opposed to you did this, yeah, right?
And for that, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, hey, there's, I think the best line that we just need to tattoo on our arm or something like that, when we want to just go with our first edit, is help me understand.
Yeah.
Help me understand what you did, as opposed to why the hell did you do it that way? Yeah. Are you stupid?
Yeah.
Okay. Conversation over.
Yeah. And there's another wall on both sides of that.
Oh, yeah. Built up. I mean, with marriage. Hey, help me understand why you said that or did that, because it doesn't feel consistent with the agreement we made about how we're going to fight, or how we're going to communicate, or how we're going to do this or how that. So there's probably an explanation, you know, just help me understand what it is. And then when you go, okay, hey, next time, can we communicate that on the front end, as opposed to, it felt like you just changed the rules on me.
Yeah.
Different fight.
Yeah.
Different fight, as opposed to, you liar, you said you'd be home at 5, as opposed to, hey, we made an agreement you'd be home by 5. Help me understand why the last 4 days it's been 7.
Yeah.
And you haven't even offered an explanation. So so hopefully she's saying there's an explanation. It's not that you're just a liar.
Yeah.
But enough of those go up in a row, it just feels like you're a liar. But help me understand, you know? I think, you know, the stuff that's going on, the protests, stuff like that. Yeah. If we get people in the room and go, hell yeah, help me understand. I'm not saying you're wrong. And I'm not saying I'm right. I don't understand that, though. Help me understand.
Yeah.
How your race feels, got to this point where you're angry at me.
Yep.
All right? Help me understand that. Like, oh. And that's a risk, because it's easier just to, I'm going to tie this back around, right? Because we're out of time.
Yeah.
Tie it back around to, I'm just going to hide behind my hard heart and say I'm right, and nobody's going to change me, and nothing changes.
Yep.
Right? And so it's a risk.
Yep. Yeah. And when nothing changes, you keep isolating and isolating and isolating, and it just gets darker and
darker. Oh, the wall gets thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing to hurt you.
Yeah.
But it's a really sucky place to live.